Greetings, greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to the Mind of God program. Emanating from thinkaboutit.org, and today's recording date is November the 28th, 2010. The day is Sunday. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to organize for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, or revolutionary organization that is itself endeavoring to organize together for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Our beautiful sister, Venice, is our producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website, thinkaboutit.org. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove, YAHLOVE, yahlove at comcast.net. As we always do, let us pause to give thanks and praises unto the Almighty Creator and the Almighty Creatress. Praises are due to the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, he is referred to as Abba. In the African Arabic language, Father is known as Allah, A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also, giving praises to our wonderful, beautiful, precious, gorgeous Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. In the African Hebrew language, the word wisdom is chokma, and it's a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, Mother, Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. This causes us to know that Holy Spirit is Mother, feminine, for only the mother, the feminine, the female, conceives. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, collectively our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of the universe, mother of the human family. As Father, Amen, Allah is Father of creation, Father of the universe, Father of the human family. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our Mother Holy Spirit is Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach is the word for spirit. In the African Hebrew language, you may find this word Ruach on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary under the number 7307. And that word is a feminine word denoting and referring to a living feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And that word Illa is also an African Hebrew word connected to Elyone, the Most High, and connected to Allah, which is also an African Hebrew word, which has to do with raising up, bringing up. And so our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu illa illa ha il Allah. And you hear illa and you hear Allah, because mother and father have come together from the spirit of love and have given birth to the whole of creation, the universe, and the human family. In Africa, Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Hebrew Revolutionary Messiah, Jesus Jah the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. Believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but by now, if you are following this broadcast, you believe it. Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah, Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon, this Roman, British, American, Israeli, wicked Babylon Empire. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, collectively, our personalities, thereby making our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ in the last days would make an appearance, would rise and resurrect within the messianic people. And the messianic people, the black man and woman of the Americas, would raise up the messianic spirit in our kith and kin in Africa and in the human family, black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And with that Christ spirit, with that Yahshua spirit, we would rise up and overturn the rulership of the wicked ruling class and ruling family, ushering in the manifestation of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. All of us are divine manifestations of divinity in this divine universe, in this divine physical realm, on this divine earth we call, this divine planet we call earth. And so when we realize the truth of our divinity emanating from the Almighty Divine Father and the Almighty Divine Mother, we will manifest Christ within our person. And so, sisters and brothers, let us continue in the book of Revelation. We're going to start off with current affairs and then go back into chapter 2, Revelation, starting around, I believe, verse 4. But current affairs, Revelation, from the Greek apocalyptus, which gives us our English apocalypse, which together with revelation means to uncover and remove falsehood so that we may see the truth concerning this wicked, no good, rotten Babylon system. And so with that idea, with the revelation of Jesus Christ, let us pause and look at some current affairs. Now, November the 28th edition of Democracy Now!, we get a headline story concerning that which is occurring in North Korea. Let's see. Tim Sharrock, direct talks with North Korea are the only answer to end the Korean War. I want to spend a few minutes with this subject. The United States has only one choice. This is Tim Sharrock being interviewed by Amy Goodman saying, the United States has only one choice in dealing with North Korea, even after its deadly artillery attack on a South Korean island, writes Tim Sharrock, an investigative journalist who has covered Korea for more than 30 years. Negotiate directly with this government. Forge an agreement to end Pyongyang's nuclear weapons program and move towards a peace agreement to formally end the Korean War. Let me pause here and say what is in my head. America has nuclear weapons, Israel, the friends of America and Israel. So I'm not coming in on that issue because it's hypocritical to deny anyone knowledge of anything, including nuclear weaponry. We don't believe in weapons and killing, but nuclear knowledge. And it's hypocritical for America to have used that knowledge against Japan and destroyed countless hundreds of thousands of lives, to deny anyone access to such knowledge. But this issue concerning the Korean War, you all would recall in history that America started that war, claiming to be fighting communism. We know it's a lie. We know it's always land, wealth, and resources. And America split Korea. I believe the year was 1953, I believe. Split Korea into North and South, occupied South Korea, turned South Korea against North Korea. But I want to point out that the war never officially ended. It never officially ended. There was no official peace treaty and ending of the war. That understanding would cause us to look at what's occurring in North and South Korea differently. Continuing with Tim Sharrock. On Wednesday, South Korea found the bodies of two civilians killed in the North Korean attack. The bombardment also killed two South Korean soldiers, wounded 18 others, and set dozens of homes ablaze. Continuing with a headline of Democracy Now! On the same subject. At least two South Korean soldiers have died after North Korea fired dozens of artillery shells at South Korean island near the country's disputed maritime border. Let me pause and say, you would recall, and I'm incorporating some information from Webster Tarpley. Let me write his name down so that I may be reminded to put him in my summary, where you may find his broadcast this past weekend of the weekend of November 27th, 2010. Okay. Now, disputed border, incorporating what Webster Tarpley revealed on his broadcast, World in Crisis, which is emanating from GCN Live, but I'll have that on my summary. The border is disputed. There is a line drawn between North and South Korea in the waters. If I have this correct, this was done in the waters, I believe. Let's see now. Okay, this island is in disputed territory. Okay, there's a border drawn, but since the war never officially ended, and the border is in dispute, okay, remember World War I, there were disputed territories within the waters. Germany claimed a part, but it was in dispute with Britain. It was known that Britain and America would send a ship into disputed territories to incur a firing from Germany to facilitate America getting into World War I. And if you go to Zeitgeist, which you can find on my website, the creators of Zeitgeist, a documentary film, talk about how Germany even took out an ad in a newspaper warning America and Britain not to send this ship into disputed territories. World War I was occurring and the waters, the territory, was in dispute. So why send this ship into disputed territories, putting lives at danger on purpose, knowing that Germany is going to fire on this ship? So wicked. Now, these are disputed territories. The war has not officially ended. And Webster Tarpley revealed that North Korea sent a communique to South Korea. Okay? And I'm going to pause right there and come back to that issue. The South Korea responded. Let's see, the shelling injured at least 16 South Korean Marines and 3 civilians and set dozens of homes ablaze. South Korea responded by firing 80 rounds of K-9 artillery and placing F-15 fighter jets on alert. The fighting has been described as the first inter-Korean artillery battle since 1970. The official North Korean news agency said in a brief statement that the South had started the fight when it recklessly fired into our sea area. The fighting comes at a time, okay, when South Korea and the United States are conducting a major military exercise involving more than 70,000 troops, 50 warships, and 500 planes. The military exercise has been sharply criticized by Pyongyang, which is North Korea, as simulating an invasion of the North and a means to provoke a war. The fighting also comes just days after it was revealed that North Korea had made rapid advances in enriching uranium at a previously undisclosed plant. All right, that's what I want to get to, though. The fact that the United States and South Korea, in a time which encompasses the fact that the Korean War was never officially ended. So as far as North Korea is concerned, it is yet in a time of war with the United States through South Korea, because the war was never officially ended. The territory that the United States and South Korea are conducting their war exercises is a territory that is in dispute. Webster Tarpley revealed that North Korea told South Korea and the United States wanted to clarify, are you making war with us? Because the war was never ended. You have 70,000 troops, 50 warships, 500 planes, amassing near your border in a time of war, because the war never ended. North Korea asked South Korea, the United States, are you conducting war on us, meaning North Korea? Didn't get an answer. And so South Korea fires in this territory, breaks the boundary, the border, and North Korea responds. Webster Tucker revealed that this is a tactic used by the United States, and we know this is true. False flag operations. We know Tonkin Gulf resolution. And let me pause here and say you're listening to Deacon Christopher Frazier, Minister of Information, thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program, recording date November 28th, 2010. Contact me by emailing yallove@comcast.net. Tonkin Gulf. America lied to get into a war. Spanish-American War, remember the Maine. Look these phrases up. Remember the Maine. Destroyed their own ship, America did. The Maine blamed it on Spain to get into the Spanish-American War to take land, wealth, and resources, Philippines, Cuba, Guam, and so forth. World War I, we talked about it. Ship Lusitania, America lied to get into the war. World War II, America allowed purposefully the attack from Japan on Pearl Harbor to get into the war. Don't care about lives. So, same tactic. 1999, America through South Korea provokes North Korea. 2002, the same thing. In 2009, there's a ship that was destroyed in these territories, in these waters, that was blamed on North Korea, but it is coming to light that it wasn't North Korea. It more than likely was a ship destroyed by the United States in order to blame it on North Korea so that they could be justified into going in to destroying North Korea. Remember The Axis of Evil by George Bush, W. Bush. North Korea is part of that Axis of Evil, and your president, Barack Obama, is continuing that same wicked philosophy to destroy people and lie about it to justify it. So now we come to what is going on now, and that is a synopsis of what is going on. Look beyond and behind the wicked lies of the media, who are working on behalf of the CIA, the military, the Pentagon, in order to maneuver us into supporting wickedness. Now I want to go to another interesting topic. This is by Your World News with Solomon, Brother Solomon Commission, I believe is his last name, Brother Solomon, and his host, forget the name of his host, I believe it's Peter, but I'm going to have to look that up again so I can say the name of Solomon's co-host. But they were talking about Thanksgiving. I want to have this in my summary. And their advertisement said, please join us, Your World News, for an honest and progressive deconstruction of the often ignored origins of the Thanksgiving holiday and its symbolism throughout American society. We will connect the dots to the often ignored intersectionalities riddled through so-called holidays like Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and many more. As usual, we will be providing critical analysis and discussion around current events that the corporate news systematically ignore. Oh yeah, hosted by our brother Solomon and our brother Peter. I gotta look up and make sure that the co-host is Peter. And I'll have where you can get to this wonderful 2-hour discussion where they talked about the fact that the first Thanksgiving was a celebration of the European invaders of North America after slaughtering a great significant portion of a tribe of Native American people. I forget the name of that tribe. But after slaughtering this tribe, I believe it was in the 1600s, they gathered together and thanked. I like how Brother Solomon and his co-host put it. They gave thanks, the European wicked invaders, gave thanks to their God for slaughtering the Native American sisters and brothers. Not the God of justice, not the God of freedom, but the God of devil and God of wickedness for the slaughtering of the Native American sisters and brothers. So they speak for 2 hours on this and deconstruct many of the details concerning the construction of Thanksgiving, such as while the Civil War was occurring or leading up to the abolishment of slavery. Leading up to the abolishment of slavery and that whole fight and further destruction of the Native American sisters and brothers, Abraham Lincoln instituted that so-called Thanksgiving as an official holiday. Interesting discussion. Another thing they pointed out, that the turkey was not originally a part of the first Thanksgiving, because the Native American sisters and brothers who provided the majority of the food for the original celebration that preceded the Thanksgiving holiday and the slaughter of the Native Americans. There was a feast that was held, but at that feast was denison, not turkey. So they had this feast. The Native American chief wanted to bring some more of his brothers and sisters to the feast. The European invaders said, "We don't want your savage brothers and sisters come to the feast. We just want you. And anyway, after we get done eating with you, we're going to kill you and then have a Thanksgiving holiday to celebrate the killing of you and your tribe." I want to make this point concerning the turkey. The turkey doesn't come into the Thanksgiving holiday until after the destruction of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. Turkey, the nation Turkey, the heart of the Ottoman Turkish Empire, the destruction of that empire, I believe, proceeding and preceding World War I, carving up of that territory and taking the land, the wealth, and the resources. So in reality, the turkey and the carving up of the turkey is a Masonic ritual emanating from the ruling class and ruling families, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the Illuminati Masonic Order. It is a Thanksgiving ritual, a Masonic ritual, to commemorate the destruction of Turkey, the nation, and the destruction of the Ottoman Turkish Empire. So that wasn't covered in the discussion, but so much wonderful information was covered in the discussion on Your World News with Solomon Commission and his co-host. I believe the name of his co-host is Brother Peter. Moving on to the elections to be held in Haiti on this date, recording date, November 28th, 2010. Flashpoints with Kevin Payne. I'm going to have all these places to go for this information in my summary. He had a couple of guests and they talked about the fake facade imposter elections, illegal and immoral elections to be held in Haiti on November the 28th, which is today's recording date, 2010, and how it's a facade, a fake, an imposter, illegal and immoral, because the nation has been destroyed. Destroyed by the same people who are facilitating these fake, imposter, illegal elections. Billions of dollars raised, none of the money goes to the people. The people are yet in tents. No infrastructure built for the people. The infrastructure that the money is going to be used for, raised by Bush, W. Bush, and Clinton, appointed by your president, Barack Obama, that money will be used to build an infrastructure for the multinational corporations, for land, wealth, and resources, the theft of land, wealth, and resources through the multinational resource and mineral corporations. The Lavalas party is banned. President Aristide yet can't return home to Haiti. And an interview was conducted, and he says this is a facade elections. He wants to come home and help his people. He wants to help his Lavalas party, but they're banned, can't come home. Why? Because Clinton, because Bush, because Barack Obama, because the Pentagon, because the CIA, the FBI, the Banks of London, the multinational mineral resource corporations, all have Haiti on lockdown and have unleashed this disease, cholera, through the United Nations, which is nothing but an armed force working on behalf of the aforementioned persons, organizations, to kill off our Haitian sisters and brothers, to take the land, the wealth, the resources, set up mining corporations, so they can exploit and enslave our sisters and brothers in Haiti, set up more sweatshop labor. So we're not for this. So go there, Flashpoints. November the 24th edition of Flashpoints with Kevin Pena. Chalmers Johnson, a former worker in the CIA who came out of the CIA and turned on the CIA, Chalmers Johnson, who lived from 1931 to 2010. On this date, let me see, what date is this? I'll have it in my summary. Chalmers Johnson, an interview was replayed by Amy Goodman. And in this interview of Chalmers Johnson, who became a great champion for justice and a truth teller on this American empire, wicked American empire, the distinguished scholar and best-selling author Chalmers Johnson has died. He passed away in California on Saturday afternoon at the age of 79. During the Cold War, he served as a consultant to the CIA and was a supporter of the Vietnam War. However, later became a leading critic of United States militarism and imperialism. He wrote the book Blowback, The Costs and Consequences of American Empire in the year 2000, which became a bestseller after the 9/11 attacks. He went on to complete what would become a trilogy about American Empire. Today we air part of our last interview with Chalmers Johnson from 2007. Now, what I want to point out, something very interesting, all of the interview was interesting from Democracy Now! Amy Goodman. But at one point that was very interesting, he pointed out the reality that America has expanded on its colonialism. The American Empire has expanded its colonies. You say colonialism is done. I say no. Research neocolonialism. But Chalmers Johnson's point on that issue of colonialism is that all of North America's military bases serve as little colonies. There are between 700 and 1,000 North American military bases located all over the planet that we call Earth, strategically placed to facilitate the furthering and continuing of the theft of the land, wealth, and resources of the third world peoples and the destruction of the third world peoples, Africa, Middle East, Asia, Central South America, Mexico, Isles of the Caribbean and the Pacific, North of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel, military bases all over to facilitate the destruction of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and the theft of land, wealth, and resources. I'll have the date of this interview in my summary page, but you can also go to www.democracynow.org, and in the search engine, just type in Chalmers Johnson, and you can hear that interview. And before I leave that, I want to give tribute to my beautiful Aunt Famous, who has made her transition from the physical, from the divine physical world to the divine spiritual world, and is yet guiding us on the right path, guiding us as the Mahdi on the straight path, guiding us as the Messiah on the straight path, having the spirit of Mahdi and the spirit of Messiah guiding us on the straight path. I thank my Aunt Famous for having babysat myself and two of my cousins when I was little. I thank my Aunt Famous for loving Africa, talking with me about Africa, talking with me about Islam, talking with me about Christianity, talking with me about Rastafari, talking with me about freedom, justice, and equality, helping me to understand the wickedness of the ruling class and the ruling families of America, Europe, and Israel, sharing with me the music of Stevie Wonder, the music of the OJs, one of our favorite songs of the OJs, Love Train. Looking at Soul Train back in the day and having fun and just enjoying ourselves, going to different parks, eating sandwiches and salad and just talking about life and enjoying creation. Going to the Arts and Crafts Center in the Bay Area in Berkeley, and her love of children and wanting to see children live and be strong, wanting to see a better world and a better place for the youth. I thank the Most High for manifesting within the person of my Aunt Famous. I thank Muhammad for manifesting within the person of my Aunt Famous. I thank Mahdi and Masi, Yahshua Christus, for manifesting within the person of my Aunt Famous. Continuing with some more issues. The United Nations reports, let's see, the world's response to the Haiti cholera epidemic, completely inadequate, and it is. And no matter what we do, we have to do more to help our sisters and brothers in Haiti overcome all of these trials and tribulations imposed on them from the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. A NATO official, children in Kabul, I believe that's Afghanistan, are safer than New York City or London. NATO's top civilian representative in Afghanistan is coming under criticism after saying the Afghan capital, Kabul, is probably a safer city for children than London or New York. Mark Sedwill made this comment in an interview with the BBC. Now, we know there's destruction, hell, death, and poverty engulfing our children in New York City and London and anywhere where we find ghettos and oppression. But for him to say that Kabul, Afghanistan is safer when NATO, he's a part of NATO, is together with the United States and Britain and Israel, absolutely destroying Afghanistan, slaughtering sisters and brothers, including children. Why? For land, wealth, and resources. The wicked hypocrisy of this NATO official. Another issue. The United States forces likely to stay in Afghanistan after NATO's 2014 headline. And this is so interesting. Over the weekend, NATO nations signed an agreement to start turning over Afghanistan's security to its military next year and to give local forces full control by 2014. Despite the 2014 deadline, President Obama acknowledged United States troops will likely remain in Afghanistan for many more years. Now, as I think about it, Barack Obama really didn't lie concerning Afghanistan. He only said that he would transfer from Iraq to Afghanistan, as in his wicked, wrong, illegal, and immoral opinion, the war in Afghanistan was the correct war. We know that Barack Obama is doing the bidding of Wall Street, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the weapons manufacturers, the mineral and resource multinational corporations, and absolutely slaughtering and destroying members of the human family to build pipelines and facilitate the theft of oil and making oils deals and whatnot. Hey, that's just the reality. We're going to have to go above and beyond Barack Obama, above and beyond the Democratic and Republican Party, who are all in reality working together to destroy our sisters and brothers in Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Central and South America, Mexico, the Isles of the Caribbean and the Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, and in the ghettos and barrios of North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.